hazy here. That does help keep the temperatures down. Church history and God's apostles warn us of apostasy and falling short of Christ's standard. There are things that we can learn that have occurred down through time in church history, apostasies that have come and gone as each church era rises. God raises up a man, the church prospers, the work grows, the church begins to begins to decline and eventually goes into apostasy, and then so on. The cycle continues. The title of this message is Lessons or Lesson from Church History. We can learn from church history things that are beneficial to us spiritually so that we don't drift away or fall away ourselves. Each church era, as I said, teaches us some very important lessons about holding fast and not going astray, especially the last 25 to 30 years with the demise of the worldwide Church of God and the massive apostasy that has occurred there. I'm not turning there, but Revelation 2 and 3 goes through in some detail the history of the church and the things that have occurred and the warnings that God has given us. The Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, and that's a good study, by the way. I really recommend that everybody at one time or another go through that and pick out the five basic warnings that the Apostle Paul gives us concerning not holding to the standard of Jesus Christ, of falling away and drifting away. Let's begin by turning over to Ephesians 4, the first scripture. Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16. Now, there's one a very important point that I want to bring out as we go through here, and that the Apostle Paul brings out that draws us close to God and to each other. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Notice he says here, but speaking the truth in love. This is not only the love of God's truth, but in the way we convey that in our fellowship as we edify one another and uplift one another in encouraging conversation. And realizing that, of course, that is Jesus Christ, the head of the church that is working through each and every single one of us. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Notice here the first part of this verse, the whole body working together, each part doing its part, the body working together in unison as one, each part doing its function, all the parts together fulfilling the purpose of the body. The Apostle Paul is very adept at comparing the human body to the church, the temple being an analogy of that to the architecture and a building, also being an analogy of that. The word that I want to focus on here is the word edification. The word edification, this is a spiritual tool, a weapon, if you will, in our spiritual warfare that God has given us that we can use. This is a part of what makes the body of Christ grow, God's in God's love, and the truth that protects us from falling away and drifting away. The word edifying comes from the Greek word oikodome, O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E, oikodome, and it means architecture, to build. So here we see the very definition of the word refers to a building and a structure. And, of course, the body of Christ, as the Apostle Paul in more than one place refers to the body of Christ as a building, and the temple of God's Spirit in which God dwells, working in us and through us. And with the analogy of the human body, of course, the body of Jesus Christ grows much as a from infancy, much as a human being does, assimilating food, bringing it into the body from the outside source. Of course, the outside source that we draw our spiritual nourishment from is from God the Father and Jesus Christ through His Word. As we assimilate that spiritual food and we grow in grace and knowledge, the human body, of course, assimilating its food and causing the body to grow. And of course, edification causes growth. The Apostle Paul mentions that in more than one place. Let's turn over to Malachi 3, verse 16, and the prophet Malachi gives us some clues here as to how to edify. Malachi 3, verse 16. This has to do with speaking and encouraging one another, and a wonderful tool that God has given us is the Zoom room. Of course, that's not the only means of communication that we have and contacting one another and encouraging one another. With this venue that God has given us has been a tremendous blessing. And let's continue to use that to our advantage in drawing near to one another and, of course, to God our Father and Jesus Christ. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Eternal spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Eternal and who meditate on His name. The first part of this verse, point that I want to bring out, where he says, those who feared the Eternal spoke to one another. That's our communicating to one another, by however we can, not by telephone as we can, in the Zoom room as we fellowship with one another, speaking to one another, encouraging and uplifting one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. This is interesting, you know, that to think that as we're fellowshipping together, God listens to us. And he hears our conversation, and he's encouraged and uplifted himself by what he hears us speak as we encourage one another, and in the love of his truth, our love for one another. And so a book of remembrance was written before him, and that's the book of life for those who fear the Eternal, who meditate on his name. Of course, the fear of the Eternal, the fear of God, is the fear of breaking his laws, knowing what the consequences are. And it mentions here, and who meditate on his name, meditation and being another wonderful tool of and by itself in growing and thinking about God's way of life and his laws. So here we see that the prophet Micah shows us that in speaking and encouraging one another, this is a part of how the body of Jesus Christ causes itself to grow, as God works through us and inspiring us and working through us. For the last scripture, turn over to 1 Peter 3. The Apostle Peter gives us a little more information where he is speaking to the church concerning the marriage relationship. There's a principle here that I want to bring out. 1 Peter 3. Verses 7 and 8. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. So, and of course, Jesus Christ is our future husband, and we are all a part of the household of God. And God wants us, if you're using the principle here, dwelling with them with understanding, He wants us to dwell together. All of us together with understanding as we grow in grace and knowledge of His Word and sharing what we have with one another, keeping in mind that we are, as God's church, the weaker vessel, looking forward to His soon coming kingdom, and in the meantime, looking to Him for the strength and guidance and direction that we need. And verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, And so we've seen how we can be of one mind with the fellowship that we have, edifying one another and drawing close to God, allowing him to speak through us in our conversation. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. So all of this is part of the body, making the body grow as we draw near to each other and to God, allowing him to work through us as he works with us, so that as the household of God, so that we don't drift away, relying upon him to give us the strength that we need to keep his laws and his commandments, statutes, and all of his judgments. So in conclusion then, fellow brethren, the lessons of church history should be clear, especially of the last 30 years, to hold fast, to keep from drifting away, to obey and to love God, to draw closer to God and each other.